Welcome to The Message, a weekly Hamilton Spectator podcast. I'm John Wells, and with me as always is producer Aisha Nasser. And this is kind of our New Year's edition of the show, Aisha, and finally just you and me.
Finally.
Yeah, at the same table, so this is great. This episode is titled Happiness. It's not what it used to be. 2 years ago, my editor, Cheryl Steppen, who is also executive editor of The Message, suggested I write an essay piece on happiness to run just after Christmas and at the dawn of the new year. And her thinking at the time was that, you know, this time of the year is one that's raw for many people. The days are short and dark, and they have the craziness around Christmas shopping, a time of great excitement, but also despair, a time of the year for many people. Well, if things aren't going well for you, it seems magnified by the holiday season, when everything in the culture seems to be screaming at you that you should be happy. So in a moment, I'm going to read from that essay, because it's one of my favorite pieces, and I received some really nice reader feedback on it at the time. And Aisha, you know, you've been in Canada, living here in Canada for just over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking before, I'd assumed you were born and raised in Pakistan, but in fact, you were born in, it's a long story, but you were born in Canada.
Yeah, I was, right here in London, Ontario.
Born in London, Ontario, and then moved to Pakistan when you were just 3 months old, right?
Just 3 months, yes.
And we just discovered that London is my hometown, more or less, and I lived not all that far from where you were born, in London. So you grew up essentially in Pakistan after, you know, moving as a newborn. So, you know, this time of the year, I'm curious, you know, the Christmas season here, all the craziness that goes on here, is there anything comparable in Pakistan to what happens here during the holiday season as far as that goes?
Yeah, absolutely. I do remember seeing Christians in Pakistan celebrating Christmas there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Pakistan has a predominantly Muslim population.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have religious festivities that were, you know, tied to Islam, and I do miss it now, like living
right
here. But I think the way the world is changing, there is like this push to celebrate religion, celebrate anything that's exciting and good. In a way that's very capitalistic at its core. So
yeah,
is that like materialism aspect to it.
Right.
Growing up as a child, my parents would take me to like 11 families on one day just
wow
to like meet all of them on Eid.
Yeah.
Which is the Muslim kind of like equivalent to Christmas.
What time of year is that at?
So funnily enough, Muslims don't really follow the traditional calendar. We have our own calendar, which is basically, you know, the lunar calendar. So I can never like tie it down to one season.
Uh-huh.
It depends on, you know, when the moon decides to show.
Interesting.
That's pretty much how it was like growing up in Pakistan.
Right. I kind of like that, not tied to the calendar per se.
Absolutely.
But to the cycles of the moon. I was struck, and what sort of got me thinking about doing this podcast on happiness and bringing back this piece I wrote, I was struck the other day braving the crowds in an Indigo bookstore about how the culture really sort of hammers us over the head with the necessity of finding fulfillment and happiness. And of course, as I say, it's magnified this time of the year with this whole genre of books that I think barely existed maybe a decade ago or so on how to feel better about your life, be more positive, to not give a care, or insert your curse word here. Everyone seems to want to have swear words on the cover of their books, to not care about what others think, and turning lemons into lemonade and all that sort of thing.
It does make you wonder if it's a very like if it's a thing that's very specific to Western cultures, where we
mm-hmm
have this like focus on happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It does make you wonder. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder about that as well. Do you? I mean, you know, I know if I'm honest with myself, I mean, you know, I'll not at Christmas time necessarily, but other times of the year as well. You know, sort of try to take stock of my state of mind, ask myself if I'm happy, reflect a bit on what I need to do to either keep the happiness going or how to get it, you know, improve upon it. Do you think like that, Aisha?
I do as well. I do like the need to be happy,
mm-hmm,
but I don't like being pressured into happiness and happiness as something that should be aspired to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel there's a value in sadness. There's a value in grieving and taking, you know, like you said, taking stock. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's well put. And, you know, and this is something that I touch on in the piece. So this is what Cheryl basically challenged me to explore with this piece on happiness that ran the day after New Year's back in 2016. So here it goes. The year is new. That means only 11 weeks until the United Nations International Day of Happiness on March 20th. However, unlike the themes for more than 100 other United Nations Days of Observance, such as Poetry Days, Soil Day, Yoga Day, and of course Migratory Bird Day, we ruminate on happiness year-round and demand it. And Christmas is when we demand it most, even though it never quite measures up to what we think it should be, or to the memories, real or imagined, of what it was. That's why this season, that is marked by prolonged periods of darkness and seems illuminated only by artificial Christmas lights, can be both the happiest and saddest time of the year. I'll be home for Christmas, that classic song goes with the melancholic qualifier, if only in my dreams. And now we declare it's a happy new year, and we tell others to have one, and resolve to improve ourselves so we have more happiness in the year to come. But what that actually means is complicated. In a sense, happiness is not what it used to be. Taking the long view, happiness is a modern faith, as is the expectation that it's in our power to achieve. The notion gained currency in the 18th century, when Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence that the pursuit of happiness is among the rights endowed by God. The evolution of happiness is one topic in historian Yuval Noah Harari's engrossing book, Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind. I pause here, Aisha, to ask, put you on the spot and ask if you've read the book, Sapiens.
I have not, no.
you've got to read it. It's a book I come back to on occasion for pieces in the spec. I quoted it just about a month ago for a piece I did in the First World War. But there's just a lot of great learning in there. And continuing with the piece, Harari wrote that if we measure happiness by objective conditions such as wealth, then as a species we have never been happier. But on the other hand, our subjective well-being is, quote, not determined by external parameters. Rather, it is determined by a complex system of nerves, neurons, synapses, and various biochemical substances in the brain. Happiness remains as elusive as ever, he wrote, because good feelings never last long. The brain, he writes, is simply not built for exhilaration. When we get what we desire, we don't seem to be any happier. It does not change our biochemistry. In that vein, philosophers have long opined on the value in finding happiness not in temporary pleasure, but deeper notions of a good life. Friedrich Nietzsche wrote that if you have the why in your life, you can bear any how. And yet happiness of the fleeting variety remains the rage in the modern culture. Take a trip, buy a coat, have sex, have better sex, make more money, even though chasing these things can be an infinite and ultimately frustrating pursuit. This is why Alan McPherson, a retired Hamilton Presbyterian minister, distinguishes between happiness and joy. Happiness, he says, is an emotion. Joy is deeper, more long-lasting. It is based more on inner certainties, not external events. I might want to pause here again to note that Alan is on my short list of wise people I consult for stories just like this one. He also appeared in that First World War essay. Meanwhile, Jamie Grumman, who is a member of the Canadian Positive Psychology Association, suggests we are, quote, almost addicted to happiness. We are consumed with what he calls happyology. He describes three types of happiness: hedonic, which is pleasure attainment and pain avoidance; eudaimonic, focusing on self-realization; and halcyonic, which means accepting life without ambition to achieve or acquire more. He says this last, halcyonic, runs counter to our ethos of go, do, accomplish, and is more about contextualizing your life. He says, I will not forget there was a time when I did not exist, and there will be a time in the future when I don't exist. So just breathe deeply and appreciate that I do exist now. We should experience the full range of feelings, he says, valuing happiness, but not to the exclusion of others. He says, miserable emotions serve a purpose. If you are angry or sad, it means there's something in your environment you have to address. Put another way, while a positive attitude is productive, it should not be divorced from reality. If you lack nerve endings in your hand and leave it on a hot stove burner, you won't feel pain, but you'll still destroy your hand.
I'm reminded of something we studied in A-level psychology back in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And it was the psychology of pain and how pain serves a physiological purpose.
Right.
So there are people who have a condition, a neurological condition, where they cannot feel pain.
Physically can't feel it.
They cannot feel it.
Right.
So they will be walking around and something might be, you know, hurting their foot or something, and they would not be able to tell. And their foot would be bleeding and all of that, and they would not be able to tell until they actually like took off their socks and like saw their that something was injured. Hmm. And I think my psychology teacher, what she was trying to say in that lecture was that there is a need for pain. There's a reason why pain exists, and we should actually be grateful that we can experience pain, and we can experience pain not just physiologically, but also, you know, psychologically, emotionally, even spiritually. So
mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's a visceral, physical example of having that sense of balance. Returning to the piece, you know, that notion of emotional balance was at the heart of arguably the best movie of 2015, Pixar's animated Inside Out. It is the story of a 12-year-old girl named Riley who struggles after her family moves across the country. Aisha, have you seen Inside Out?
I have seen it multiple times now.
Multiple times?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I love it.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies ever. I've seen it several times as well. Inside Out takes place almost entirely inside Riley's brain as her emotions compete for supremacy. Among them, joy is depicted as a relentlessly chipper Tinkerbell character, and sadness, a blue-colored sad sack, who says, at one point, crying helps me slow down and obsess over the weight of life's problems. Joy is the star of the movie, but sadness steals the show. Only through sadness does Riley confront what afflicts her and brings comfort from her parents. Finally, wrote one movie reviewer, a movie where happiness is the bad guy. The climactic scene pushes viewers near tears. Okay, fine, it pushed me near tears. And at the same time, it is the happiest moment in the film. Now, when I was growing up, my dad told me when something went wrong, as though issuing a gentle order of sorts, he'd say, "Don't be sad." I understood what my dad was doing. Parents tried to preempt pain. Happy is the thing. But if the movie Inside Out teaches anything, it is that sad and happy are two sides of the same coin, and you can't have one without the other. It is a new year. The days grow imperceptibly longer and brighter, not from hanging colored lights, but because of something over which we have no control. Maybe that's all you can hope for, to find happiness in the dawn of one more year, month, day. Aisha, I want to say thank you for all your work on the podcast in 2018, and all the best to you in the new year.
Thank you, John.
I'm John Wells. Thanks for listening to The Message. Everyone have a happy new year, and we will talk to you later.